Dave, I think the most alarming thing I've come across in a long time was an article in the New York Times on last week that summarized something called National Presidential Security Memo 7, which was issued by Trump in September of 2025, and which sets up the rules under which he arrogates to himself, without quoting any statutory authority, constitutional authority, any authority whatsoever, the right to cancel elections, declare martial law, arrest people who complain about it, declare domestic as a, that the people who demonstrate against it are domestic terrorists, order the imprisonment of domestic terrorists, the confiscation of their property, and so forth and so on. It gives them the right to close newspapers, televisions, studios, and stations. It is not subject to judicial review, and it is not subject to legislative review as well. He says he has that authority, and that's what he ha has done. Now, if you add this, and nobody knows about this, or nobody did
Right, yeah,
know.
it wasn't publicized. It was
It
just
wasn't
sort
discussed.
of it was put together. He signed off on it, and it was just sort of held, somewhere in the Oval Office, so to speak, in the
That's right.
top
And
drawer.
it was secret.
Yeah.
And it was secret. And this is it. This does not have to be there's no enabling it. This is in force today. Today. This is what he claims he can do today. So with all the maneuvering about gerrymandering and should we have leftist candidates or rightist candidates or centrist candidates or whatever? He's telling you in the face, straight out, if I don't like who got elected, I'm going to cancel the results of that election. I'm going to order the Congress to organize itself without referring and without to those elections that I don't like, and without admitting the people that I object to, without certifying their election. And that will give me a veneer of legislative authority. And I have that authority, and I'm going to do it. And his purge of the military, Hegseth's firing of 24 top generals, and his continuing purge will give him a military leadership that will follow those orders. And the $45 billion that, or thereabouts, that was given to ICE to build concentration camps. Far in excess of the concentration camps that are needed if they locked up every one of the people they call illegal aliens. There'd be still tens of thousands of empty beds available to lock you up and me up. And in fact, there's no way to explain why they needed so many billions of dollars to create these concentration camps, except if they had in mind it's imprisoning people who objected to what they were doing. That's where we are today. Today.
Yeah. We had Project 2025 that was out there pre-election and was somewhat well publicized. And we've seen the attempts, and many of which were successful attempts, to implement 2025. But this goes much further in that. This is like the sequel, the bad sequel
That's right.
to it. And the world is, or the American political world is operating along as if things which are still constitutionally normal in terms of elections. And they have, I mean, the fights that we're having are sucking up all of the attention when there should be more attention to what you just said, because if the outcome of all these fights as things are trending, is not, is not favorable to, and I don't even want to say Republicans. This is not favorable just to the Trumpists.
Right.
It's all going to be for naught.
That's right. This is the public organization of a coup.
Everybody
sees it. The people who are organizing don't hide it.
No.
And they sort of just laugh in your face.
What's happened, and Ruth Ben-Ghiat, my guru, talks about how these things get normalized, so to speak, and how it's been happening over a period of time, that the abnormal has become not just the normal, but the regular course of things. This is really another step beyond what's been there, but the testing has already been done. We now know who the collaborators are, who the people that are willing to sell out, who have no principle other than power at this point, who just the institutional parts of that. And we could go one by one. We can go by the Congress, where the Republicans, they made the first mistake in not impeaching Trump after January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
But they then have willingly gone along with whatever he wants. When he dictates things, for instance, he said he didn't want them to do an immigration act, so they didn't do an immigration act.
Right.
He's he tells the Speaker of the House what bills he wants brought up or what he doesn't want brought up, and the Speaker says, I'm acting as Congress, when he's not. We've got the court, the Supreme Court, which has violated its own principles and ideas just to enable things. I've talked about the John Roberts 40-year project to stop people from voting, but this is even well beyond that. And then we have the religious leaders who have deified Donald Trump in all of these aspects. We had that spectacle this week where a gilded statue of Trump was unveiled. I forget where it was. And some of these great religious leaders, fawned over it as if it was Maimon or the golden calf, this type of thing. While the fact is that they're supporting someone who violates the Ten Commandments on a regular basis. And it doesn't bother them at all. it was almost like, during the war with Ukraine, Putin unveiled this super weapon called Satan, and he got the head of the Russian Orthodox Church to bless Satan, right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, except
right.
It's being made up. It's there. It's Orwellian.
But the key point is, it's there. It's there. I know it's there. And every Democratic Party politician knows that it's there. And I haven't heard one word, one peep in opposition to this, or even acknowledging that it's there.
Right. There are efforts at organizing things, but I don't know whether that, will that form the basis of resistance if this thing goes through? Or
it's
will
through.
That just...
It doesn't, it's not a case of it if it goes through. It's through.
But come the election, what happens or what have you, it's going to be...
Well, what would happen? Let's assume that...
Well,
Take
there's a
a case.
couple
A guy gets elected that he doesn't like. He says, all right, the
things.
guy didn't get elected. Don't certify the election.
Don't certify the election.
Certify the other guy. Now what's
Yeah,
the other guy going to do?
we've got courts that are okaying the seizure of ballots.
That's right.
So you can't, so you can't certify.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
And
now what? Now what?
you got that fool over in Colorado, the governor of Colorado, who's thinking of pardoning or commuting the sentence of the lady who went along with the 2020
And he's a Democrat, right?
yeah, Polis.
Polis. Jared Polis.
They don't understand that the only thing that stops strength is counter strength. And you got to show it. There've been a couple of instances this week where we started to see that happening, but they're right now they're few and far between. ABC, the network, which caved a while back over, and suspended Jimmy Kimmel, has now brought a lawsuit saying, no, we're not going to go along with that type of thing. There was another instance I'm trying to well, we saw in the Atlantic where the lady who got sued by Kash Patel for writing a story that she said is well sourced about his drinking and other wasteful habits, so to speak, came out with another story about his private label bourbon that he gives out to people as the FBI director type of thing. And the show that the Atlantic has on PBS on Friday nights actually had Jeffrey Goldberg, who's the editor, said this is the first time in the history of the show we've actually have a prop here, and he put a bottle of that bourbon on stage, right on the desk, to hold it there. But unlike the bottle of bourbon, Trump phones don't exist,
That's right.
but the grift does. If people don't know what I'm talking about, is a while back Trump decided to sell gold plated, the phony gold plating phones that were some people looked at and said, yeah, these can be made for like $50, and he was selling them for 600 with a $100 deposit. And this week he came out and said, well, there was a little line in the contract that says we don't actually have to produce the phone. So we're not producing the phone. All you people who wrote $100 checks to us for this, you're not going to get a phone. And by the way, you're not going to get a refund.
That's fair enough, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As you pointed out to me, the Trump Social, the people that invested in that stock. It had another, it's hard to say bad quarter. I mean, catastrophic is the word. What were the stats on
Well,
it, Jake?
they lost 600 some odd million dollars, and
In the
they took
quarter.
in 800,000 in revenue.
Yeah.
I
And
mean,
now
that's
you
an
know,
achievement. That's an achievement.
yeah, now you know how Trump casinos went belly up with that kind of math. With that kind of math. But all of all the grift. You mentioned these detention centers. Up to now, it thought that this was just a money laundering scheme. That what they did is they went around the country and they bought these huge warehouses for far in excess of their valued price, right? And they, and they're holding that they're empty. And so the question is, the Treasury pays a lot of money to some favored group or favored person who owns these things. And you wonder, did any of that money come back behind the scenes to Donald Trump or to other people? You pay $120 million for something that's worth $65 million. Where's that extra 65 or $60 million go? And we thought that was just the scheme, but as you pointed out, that might only have been the interim step. The
That's
interim
right.
step.
That's right. Because they didn't buy it just for the hell of it. They didn't buy something with 10 times the capacity they needed. just for the hell of it. I mean, some of that, some stealing some of the money may have entered into the picture, but they could have done that without having to buy that much square footage. There's a purpose for that square footage, and that purpose is to lock up left wingers and in fact, even right wingers who object to Trump becoming the
Principled right
dictator.
wings, principled right wingers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. After all, when the Nazis locked up people, they started with the communists, but by the time they got done, they had conservatives in their clutches who just wouldn't go along with the Nazis. So everybody's fair game.
You saw the to do this week with the mayor of New York, Mamdani, talking about taxing second homes that these private equity and these other tech people and what have you bought in New York City but don't live in, might spend a couple of days a year in there. That they're going to put a tax on it,
Has to be worth
and
more than $5 million.
has to be worth more than $5 million. But the thing was, he named a name, Ken Griffin, and Griffin said, "Hey, you're he cried and cried and cried about things, and we're seeing the gilded class say, how dare people expose, how much money we're worth and making, and make us tax things. The idea of these taxes, we'll just move because we don't want to get taxed. This is a battle. It's a battle of ideas there, just like the battle of ideas is being fought with Trump and democracy. This is a battle of ideas because this is what finances those folks. The billionaires that all stood around Trump, or, right after the election, the ultra billionaires. I was watching Mike Smirkanish's show, and he had he quoted the former Prime Minister of England, the Iron Lady there,
Mrs. Thatcher.
saying, Mrs. Thatcher, saying, socialists never run out of spending other people's money. But he never did quote Leona Helmsley, who said, only the little people pay taxes, right?
And he also never raised the question of how did it become his money in the first place? How
Yeah.
do you get it? How do you get it?
Yeah. Whether it takes a village, whether he did it under the protection of the laws, or whether he was able to lobby to manipulate the laws, those
Don't
kind
forget,
of
all the
things.
great Southern fortunes were created by slave labor, and
Right.
yet, and then the defeated slave owners said, "You're taking away my property." Well, yeah, how'd you get your property? You got your property by enslaving people. So, yeah, we took away your property. Exactly. That's what the war was about.
They claim a higher thing. It was states' rights, and I've always said, tell me three things that South Carolina wanted to do that Massachusetts didn't, that didn't involve slavery. And you don't get to number one on that list, that kind of thing. But
Elon Musk has $1 trillion, right? How do you get it? How do you get it? Sweetheart deals with the US government, sweetheart deals with the Chinese government, right?
A $7,500 tax credit for buying one of his cars.
That's right. Or paying workers in his factories $2 a day. Right? That's how he got it. And if you took it away, why is it his? Why is it his? Anyway, the point is, it is his. And the law protects his ownership of it. And Trump is after making sure that that law can never be changed. And he's put not laws in place, but he's declarations which have the force of law because he's got the army to enforce it, And Hegseth has given him the generals that are compliant. And it doesn't matter that Kelly and Slotkin and Duckworth all said to the soldiers, "Don't you don't ha you have the right, and not only the right, you have the obligation not to follow an illegal order." But they're going to follow the illegal orders because soldiers, it'll be a rare soldier that'll stand up and say, "This is an illegal order." Like, for example, every order that has to do with the war in Iran, which is illegal, and every order which is now a war crime, and a crime against humanity. It'll be a rare soldier or sailor that'll stand up and say, "I'm not following this order." And he'll be thrown in jail, and he knows he'll be thrown in jail. The generals might stand up, but they don't. They purge the generals, and they've got the generals in place there who won't stand up, right?
Purging is one of the features of these things,
Yeah.
but of course we're not at war, right?
We're not at war. We're not at war.
Except we are.
Except everywhere we are.
We've won, and
Except we need $1 billion to finance the war that we're not in.
yes, we also need $1 billion to finance the east wing of the White House with the bunker underneath it, the protection. That was going to cost 200 million and then 400 million. It was all going to be privately financed, right?
By the way, I misspoke, but he didn't ask for $1 billion, he asked for $1 trillion, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, was it a trillion for defense? A trillion and a half
Yeah,
for defense?
trillion and a
Trillion
half, trillion and a
for
half.
defense.
All
No,
right,
but
and
the
how much did the
ballroom's a
war
billion.
cost? The ballroom's $1 billion, and now it's going to be public money, not private money. And the war, they want $1.5 trillion. But when Vought was asked by the congressman when he appeared at Congress last week, how much have we spent on the war? He said, "I can't tell you, I don't know. I can't tell you, I don't know." He's in charge of the purse. How is it that he can't know? The reason he can't know is that he does know. He doesn't want to say.
Doesn't want to say it.
Because they claim the war has so far cost in excess of $25 billion. That'd be horrible enough. How about the war has actually cost several trillion already at this point?
Well, they were also came out this week. They were hiding some of the damage that the Iranians were able to do to American assets
That's right.
and personnel.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they
Well.
hid the damage it did to the bases throughout the Persian Gulf.
Right.
They destroyed many bases and a lot of installations. And some of these THAAD anti-rocket systems, these are billion-dollar installations, and they blew them up. But when you don't have newspaper men out on the scene looking at the stuff because they're not allowed there, you don't find this out. But it's the truth. That's what happened.
Yeah. Well, and this
Turns
week.
out that the Iranians actually had some power. Trump
Well, this
likes
week,
to say you got no cards, but it turned out they had some cards.
cards, yeah. This week we had, some news. They've been going, of course, out after the press. The press that isn't fawning over them, like Fox and Newsmax and whatever. But we had the news that Ted Turner died, who started CNN, which changed the whole face of news reporting. And has been one of the outlets that has been trying to report on certain things, not always successfully, but they're out there trying. And the Trump acolytes, or Trump is trying to get his acolytes to buy up these places. He's got Bezos buying the Washington Post and changing its editorial policy and firing a lot of the news people that go out and hunt down stories.
And
And
firing especially the guy who was in charge of exposing false claims and phony reports and cutting out that whole section of the paper. They
right.
used to play, they had a feature of Pinocchio's. How many Pinocchios? Four noses, three noses, two noses, because Pinocchio's nose grew every time he told a lie. They cut that out. Glenn Kessler was fired.
And now the Ellisons are controlling the company that controls CNN. We'll see that. But we also lost this week. It's going off the air. CBS Radio,
Radio news.
Radio News, the Edward R. Murrow built broadcast system that, informed the world of what was happening during world up to and during and after World War II. Hundreds of radio stations across the country now have no national source of doing these things, of presenting the news. They have to find some other source. But, and of course that CBS was taken over by someone who is leans towards the administration, Barry Weiss, and her tenure has been about as successful as the Truth Social or exactly. Trump Casino. Right. Their signature broadcast, the evening news, is in the tank, mm-hmm. and you wonder where or what they're going it through on that.
Well, what I'm wondering is, what is the Democratic leadership? How are they going to respond to this? That so far they haven't responded. I would have thought that.
And the question is,
in the wake of publishing this article in the Times, that there would have been an uproar. Nothing. But that's all right. Here's the war in Iran, and there's no uproar.
Right. And we this week, talk about Democratic leadership. We learned that John Fetterman is not going to become a Republican. He said he'd be a lousy Republican. That was his exact word. He said he still believes in most of the Democratic principles that he's voted on in terms of helping the poor. He says his voting record is 93% with the Democrats. What are they complaining about?
That's 7%. That's what they're complaining about.
Well, years past, someone who was within 93% was doing pretty good on both parties.
Right, but now at this point, the Republican platform is the MAGA platform. The MAGA platform is 100% fascist, 100% anti-people, 100% pro-austerity, 100% give the billionaires what they need, what they want, even if they don't need it, what they want. So if you're going along with any part of that, how do you justify that? That you didn't go along with all of it? It's like the story that Abe Lincoln told when he watched the bear. The guy was watching a bear wrestling with his mother, and he was saying, "Come on, bear! Come on, mom!" Right? Equal. Yeah. He went along with both of them. He was supporting both of them. Well, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to oppose one implacably, because that's where we are.
That's where we are. And, we didn't even get a chance to talk about what happened in Tennessee this week. Where the Supreme Court, gave the signal and said, nothing to see here. And then the Tennessee legislature said, there's a lot to see, but we don't have to worry about being accountable for it. We're just going to lock out black people. And throughout the South, we're going to make sure that blacks have no representation in Congress.
That's right. But on top of that, the argument that the Supreme Court makes is that partisan gerrymandering is completely justifiable. Why is it justifiable?
No. Yeah. Doesn't it violate the freedom of association?
Yeah.
But
doesn't it violate the concept of elections?
Yeah. And if you call racism just politics, then you get away with it.
Well, we're done. We can't go any further.
We can't get away with that. We can't get away from the clock.
No, we can't get away from the clock.
All right.
We'll return to this next week.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See you next week.